Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. This 28 March 2023. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. We are so glad you're with us, and you are in for a really interesting testimony tonight. That's what it is. We're going to talk to a doctor. Dr. Richard Gallagher, who is a psychiatrist, he wrote a book entitled Demonic Foes, My 25 Years as a Psychiatrist Investigating Possessions, Diabolic Attacks, and the Paranormal. Now, this is for real, folks. If you don't believe in paranormal, if you don't believe devils exist and still can possess people and oppress people, then you probably listen to the wrong program tonight, because I believe it happens. I've seen it with my own eyes. We're going to bring up Dr. Richard in a minute, and we're going to let him share his information. Before we do that, don't forget we are going to have Bible study this weekend, Lord willing. Start 10:30 a.m. Eastern time, and I hope you'll join us. You can watch us on computer if you want by going to our website, pastorbutch.com, and just click on live stream. You'll see us there at 10:30. That's when we do the prayer requests and praise reports. 11:30, we get into Christian worldview news. And 1 o'clock, we get into Bible study. And the phone line's open for you to call once every segment of that if you want to. Share your thoughts, share prayer requests, share your information. We want you to join us. And I sincerely do mean that. That's what we're there for. You can't watch it on the Internet. You can call us on the phone. Listen on the phone at 339-209-5013, 339-209-5013, and I'm still honored and amazed, for example, that Miss Blue out of France listens to the Bible studies and sometimes calls in, but we have people from all the country and around the world who do listen, not only live, but recorded later on. Just such a blessing to us. And don't forget, we are offering the rest of this month, tomorrow night be the end of it, the truth about Easter paper. It's about 15 pages long. If you want to know the truth about it, we just ask postage for that, folks. $5, that includes that's postage, envelopes, and it takes time to do that. And funding the control grid, the food framework. Now, that is something everybody's got to see. If you haven't seen a reduction in food supplies in your store already, you're just not looking. I'm telling you, folks, they're hitting the food supplies in our country, around the world, but in our country very heavily, with 130 or 40 food processing plants and food growing plants like chicken farms and turkey farms being shut down because the bird flu were blowing up or burned down. We just had a chocolate factory blow up in Pennsylvania. If you don't think that, if you think all this is by accident, you're not thinking the truth, all right? That's, again, $5 donation if you want it. I hope you'll get it and enjoy it. And tomorrow will be the end of our offer on the Backyard Medicine book. I love that little book, the study, and know what's around your house, that you can go out right around your house. down the block or down the holler where I live out in the woods. You can find greens to eat. You can find things to use for medicine. Full color pictures that's so easy to identify what you're looking at. And all the instructions how to use the plant, what part of the plants, how to use them. It's all in there, folks, for $24.95. The books don't normally $34.95. After tomorrow, we'll be back to the regular price if we have any left. So get it while you can. And one more thing. I mentioned last night for the first time, we're going to get in a supply of a product called Sugar to Fiber. I've been a diabetic now for about 30 years. Agent Orange did kill my pancreas in Vietnam. It did. That's just the way it is. I can't help it. It happened. So I've been diabetic, and I've been trying to take care of things. It's not always 100% the best I can with diet, but a lot. And I've been pretty successful. But then come along about a month ago, this product I interviewed Frank Davis about, Sugar to Fiber. It changes sugar to fiber in your body and reduces the sugar, the glucose, 50 to 90% from sugar, whether it be sugar from carbs or whatever. And it cuts the calories out much from that also. This product works. I promise you from personal experience. Now, maybe you say it didn't work for me. I don't know. But I was skeptical, very skeptical. But I can tell you right now, for me, it has lowered my sugar numbers down on average probably at least 30 to 50 points. Now, that's the truth. It actually works. It's all natural. And it does things for your body that you need to do, especially if you're diabetic or pre-diabetic. But I recommend that you get a bottle or two, try it out. We have it here at the ministry. You can call us and order it if you like. You can call Lisa and get it at 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. And we'll be in the office, of course, on Thursdays, always taking orders. But I hope that you will at least try it for yourself, folks. It works for me. If it doesn't work, get your money back. It's just that simple. Now, with all that said, we're going to our guest tonight. I've been looking for this guest for it's been about 2 or 3 weeks since we booked him. He's a busy, busy man. Again, his name is Dr. Richard Gallagher. I want to read a little bit about him before I bring him up. Successful New York psychiatrist Richard Gallagher was skeptical yet intrigued when a hard-nosed, no-nonsense Catholic priest asked him to examine a woman for a possible exorcism. Meeting her, Gallagher was astonished. The woman's behavior defied logic. In an instant, she could pinpoint a person's secret weaknesses. She knew how individuals she'd never known had died, including Gallagher's own mother, who passed away after a lengthy battle with ovarian cancer. She spoke fluently in multiple languages, including Latin, but only when she was in a trance. This was not psychosis, Gallagher concluded it was. It was, he said, in his scientific estimation, what could only be described as paranormal ability. The woman wasn't mentally disturbed, she was possessed. This remarkable case was the first of many that Gallagher would encounter, sought after today by leaders of all faiths, ministers, priests, rabbis, and imams. Gallagher spent a quarter century studying demonic activity and exorcisms throughout history and has witnessed more than any other psychiatrist in the world today. Folks, his book talks about instances in there that I think you'll find very, very, well, I don't want to say scary, but that's supernatural. So, you know, it is out of our realm normally. But from a personal experience of being a minister now for well over 40 years, I have seen demonic activity. I've seen them exercised. I've seen the things happen when you command them to come out. I watched a girl's eyes roll back in her head. She started talking in deep voice and foaming at the mouth. I've seen that with my own eyes because I was the one praying for her. I've seen these things. So don't say they're not real, but they are. But for a psychiatrist, what we would normally call a man of science to admit this, but this man also happens to be a man of faith. He's a Christian. He understands these things more than most. And Dr. Richard, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for the invitation, Pastor.
Well, it's good to have you, my friend. It truly is. And so everybody gets to know who Dr. Richard is. Would you mind telling us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, how you get started in psychiatry, and just giving a little bit of background about who Dr. Richard Gallagher is.
Well, I was brought up in a Catholic Christian family in the New York area. I studied classics and history at Princeton, And I became very aware that most cultures in history had always believed in evil spirits, even though there were some more people in today's world who didn't. So I had decided to become a doctor, and then somewhat to my surprise, after I became an attending psychiatrist at a fine New York hospital, I had a exorcist come to my office and ask me to evaluate a case. You know, that reading that you just read, Pastor, I know it's on the internet. It's slightly inaccurate because that case was not the first case that I saw.
Okay.
This priest came to, and I realized that you read it from the internet, and I think someone who wrote it on the internet didn't have the facts exactly correct, although I did later evaluate that very case you talked about. But what happened is this very experienced priest exorcist came to my office, knocked on the door, and told me about another case. That was not a case of possession. That was a case of what people use different terms for, but which we normally, in my faith, we call an oppression, sort of a lesser demonic attack, although a serious demonic attack. Possessions and oppressions and what we call infestations of houses, that sort of thing, these constitute the major varieties of what we call extraordinary attacks of the demonic. And so you can understand I'm trying to be precise in my
language
here.
Absolutely, yes.
And quite rigorous. So the long story short is, he said to me, you know, I have a woman who came 2,000 miles to New York to get my help, this priest said, and I'd like your opinion about it. And I had been aware, Pastor, from my training in psychiatry, which is at Yale, I had become aware that there were people who saw Satanists everywhere. And there were people who, you know, exaggerated the ubiquity of these kind of attacks. So I said to the priest, respectfully, I said, you know, Father, I'm a little skeptical of how widespread some of these cases have been thought to be. And he said to me, well, then you're the perfect man for the job. So, in other words, he wanted someone who could make a distinction between, say, illnesses and mental problems versus the genuine cases of what I'm calling extraordinary attacks of the demonic. And it turned out that this woman, I evaluated very closely. We even did a medical workup of her because she had bruises all over her body. And as you and your audience, I'm sure, know, sometimes that can be a blood disorder. It can be a lack of platelets and that sort of thing. So we wanted to make sure there wasn't a medical illness. Long story short, she and her husband gave a very coherent story that she was not possessed, but that she would be in her house and in front of even friends and family, she would claim that she was being literally beaten up by invisible forces, which she herself felt were evil spirits. And after talking to her and talking to her husband and making sure that their story was credible, I came to believe that, yes, indeed, this was what we call a demonic oppression, a serious demonic attack, although not a possession. And so I conveyed my opinion to the priest, and he said to me, well, Dr. Gallagher, that's what we thought, but, you know, we wanted to be careful. Since this woman had so many bruises, we wanted to be careful that a scientific expert like yourself would agree. She went on to get help and got prayers of deliverance, you might call it, rather than a full exorcism, and she did quite well in the long run.
Well, how long has this woman been having this problem?
She had it for about a year.
About a year. And any idea how that come about? What brought it on?
Well, this is difficult for a lot of Americans to accept, but her own theory was that she had been cursed by a local sort of wizard. The Spanish term is a brujo. And in her case, not really because she hadn't invited it in any way, which can often happen to people who are possessed, sometimes unwittingly, but because the devil also doesn't like holy people. And she was doing a lot of charity work. She was very big in the pro-life movement. And I think she was a target. And unfortunately, I think credibility to her view that that a local, you know, witch doctor type had put a curse on her. I always emphasize when I talk about this case that I really, Pastor, never volunteered for any of this. In other words, everything I've been asked to do, I've responded simply because, you know, as a physician, it's my job to help people, and these poor people come to me for help, and I try to do my best. But I'm not sure that it's a good idea to volunteer for this field. And later, when I was asked to join an international society of exorcists as their scientific advisor, I'm now the longest-standing American member, meets over in Italy every couple of years. And then later to write some articles and write a book. And in many ways, everything I've been asked to do has been requested by other people, which I'd like to think was kind of providential that I've responded to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I agree. Let me ask you a question, Doctor. How many of your colleagues probably think that you're a little bit nuts yourself for saying this is going on? I mean, how many of them agree with what's happened? Do a lot of them mock you because they think this can happen?
Well, it's a good question that has a complicated answer. I mean, I would regard myself as a pretty, you know, respected psychiatrist. I'm a professor of psychiatry at a medical college. So, you know, I have a good reputation. You know, we live in a pluralistic country, and thank goodness we have freedom of religion, and people tend to be, by and large, with some exceptions, pretty tolerant of other people's religious beliefs. So I certainly, there are certainly psychiatrists who disagree with me, but I wouldn't say that I, you know, have been felt abused or mistreated for that reason.
That's interesting.
You know,
That's interesting. I would have thought the opposite. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I haven't really experienced a lot of hostility, and if I did, to tell you the truth, I wouldn't care. You know,
oh, yes.
It comes
yes.
with the territory.
Amen. It's like being a pastor or a preacher or a radio talk show host. It comes with territory. It does. So you've been worked in psychiatry now well over 30 years. Is that fair? 30, 35 years?
Yes, about 30 years, yeah.
Okay, and I'm anxious to, I want a copy of your book. I've just seen excerpts. I want to see it because it's so interesting to read what you ran into in this situation. And how often do things like this happen in your career? I know it's not, probably not often, but is it once, twice a year you see things like this? How often does it happen?
Well, it's another good question that has a complicated answer. I'll tell you why I've seen so many cases, although I want to put it in perspective, and this may surprise even you or people in your audience. In the course of my life, I've had to evaluate a lot of patients. I used to be the county just north of New York City. I used to be their psychiatric emergency director for the county. So I've seen literally thousands of cases. In fact, I estimated to somebody the other day, I have probably seen about 27,000 cases.
Wow.
Now, again, these are patients. These are patients. Now, believe it or not, of those 27,000 cases of patients of mine, none of them were possessed. Now, people say, well, then what are the cases that you see? The cases I see originally were mainly cases that were sent to me by clergy of different denominations. Catholic and Protestant and even other religions. And the two exorcists that I worked with at the time, there weren't very many Catholic exorcists in the United States, so they showed me cases all over the United States. And in the time since, a lot of people have, you know, heard of my openness to this subject. So I've seen cases literally all over the world. And, of course, when I go to Italy and I've given some talks over there, I hear cases from all the exorcists from around the world. So on the one hand, I don't treat these individuals, Pastor. They're not patients of mine.
Right.
And I don't all of a sudden start diagnosing a patient and say, oh, by the way, sir, you're possessed, you know. That doesn't happen to a patient. These people have come to me because they've either been sent to me or they already, before they see me, suspect for various reasons that they might be demonically attacked. And therefore, I've seen so many of these cases, quite frankly, probably a physician in the world, and my former academic chairman, who was a Christian himself, verified that. But given electronic communication, you know, here we are talking on the phone, right? But other people I see on Zoom. I have probably seen more cases because of modern electronics than any other physician in history, is my guess.
Wow. So, I've got, there's so many questions I want to ask you, I don't even know where to start. So you've been all the world working with this, and give us some examples of what you have seen. I mean, I've read a few here that you had this listed in your book, and some of the things happen. I mean, supernatural strength and different things. What have you seen happen, and when you were you ever there during the exorcist when these devils were sent out? Tell me some examples of what you saw.
Well, I have a million stories. I mean, that's why I wrote the book Demonic Foes, because I wanted to educate the public. Obviously, Pastor, I can't see everybody who wants my help or opinion. So what I do is, I decided at some point to present the evidence in the book and also to help people distinguish between psychiatric and medical problems and true demonic attacks. So over the years, yes, I've seen a tremendous amount of stuff. And although I'm not an exorcist myself, I'm a humble physician, I have attended as an observer. Certainly over 100 or so exorcisms. And I've seen a lot. What you see most characteristically is this demonic voice coming out of the person who is in kind of a trance.
Yes, yes.
And they often do speak, you know, other language, the demon, not the victim. And the victim, you know, generally doesn't know any other language. They exhibit a tremendous amount of strength so that they will attempt to escape from the exorcism, sometimes for literally hours. And they're often in possession. If you talk to them, they often know things that the individual would never know. As you mentioned in the case of the Satanist woman that I highlight in the book. And again, I'm not a person, Pastor, who sees Satanists all over the place. I mean, you know, you and I are Christian. You and I are Christians. We know that, first of all, you know, fallen human nature has its own tendencies towards sinfulness.
Yeah, it has enough trouble by itself. I understand that. Yes, that's
enough
true.
Trouble by itself. Now, that doesn't mean that Satan and demons don't try to tempt people, but again, that's within the ordinary experience of most people, and it's not like the demons take away the person's free will. When we talk about, you know, extraordinary attacks, that's where, in a possession, they can take over the body and the consciousness of the individual, and I've seen quite a few of those cases. And as I started to say, they exhibit these qualities like superhuman strength or knowledge of hidden material, like how my mother died, for instance, or speaking foreign languages in a way that is simply impossible for a human being. The case you mentioned, which I highlight in the book, was one of these rare Satanists. And again, I'm not someone who sees Satanists all over the place or, you know, taking over the government and all that. I do not believe those theories. However, this woman was the real deal. And her case was extraordinarily dramatic. The first time I met her, my wife and I were in our house, in our bedroom, and one night the cats went berserk, which mystified us because they were fairly well-behaved cats. The very next day, the priest introduced me to this woman, talk about hidden knowledge, and the first words out of her mouth were, "Dr. Gallagher, how did you like those cats last night?" Pretty remarkable, right?
Right.
Later she told me that as a Satanist and as a possessed person, you got to remember when the person is possessed, they're coming in and out of those states. So in her more normal state, because she was a Satanist, she claimed, again, I was somewhat skeptical at first, that she could see things from a distance. This is what they call the occultic third eye. Parapsychologist, which is kind of a pseudoscientific field trying to explain the supernatural and the demonic. Parapsychologists call it remote viewing. So she told me she could see people at a distance, and I had kind of a comfortable relationship after a while with her because I was asked to talk to her. And again, not my patient. These are not my patients. She said, "Well, I can see the chief exorcist where he is now." And I said, I call her Julia, which was not her real name, even though all the other details in the book are accurate. I said, "Well, Julia, that sounds preposterous. What is he doing right now?" And she said to me, "Well, he's walking along the beach," which, of course, he normally wouldn't do. "He was walking along the beach saying his priestly prayers." And I said, "What is he dressed in?" And she said, "He's dressed in a blue windbreaker and khaki pants." Now, she would have no way of knowing it. This guy was 100 miles away. So I remember kind of joking with her a little bit and said, "Okay, Miss Smarty Pants, I'm going to call him up." So I called him up on the phone. I call him in the book Father A because that's what he called himself. He kind of used a pseudonym. And I said, "Father A, what is it that you're doing?" And he said, "Well, normally I would be in my residence, but I decided I'd take a drive to the beach, say my prayers." I asked him what he was wearing. He told me exactly what she had said.
Wow.
And then he said to me, "Well, I guess you're talking to Julia, right? She's something else, right?"
Hang on through the break. Hang on through the break, please. Don't go away. Folks, this is intriguing. Hang on through the break. Back to the break, folks. Don't go away.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Demand of Foods, the best unstable foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSG. Give Demand a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Demand.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. With organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wildcrafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents. The only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize-winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-600-6040.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Get on the battlefield, Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Folks, our theme song now of 30 years fits this interview tonight very closely. Pick up your sword and shield and get on the battlefield. This is for real. Again, we're talking to Dr. Richard Gallagher. His book, Demonic Foes. I'm so anxious to get a copy of it. I really am, and I know you're going to be too. We're going to tell you how to get a copy of the book, Demonic Foes. And I'm convinced in the audience, probably somewhere, somebody thinks, well, this is all baloney. This is all just something that's just an emotional makeup. And no, folks, it's not. From personal experience, I can tell you these things exist and they do possess people. I know personally from that. And I have nothing to gain by telling you anything that would not be truthful in this at all. But you were describing this lady, Julia. And the priest said, you're talking to Julia. Very quickly, give us a little bit more about her.
Well, she was described. She actually was being dealt with by two exorcists. She was ambivalent about getting help because she was afraid, Pastor, of leaving her cult. She was afraid they were going to harm her. And so they wanted me to talk to her, again, not because I was an exorcist, but because I was a doctor. And I tried to, you know, get to know her as well as I could. She respected me. But she was what the priests themselves described as a once-in-a-century case. I mean, she had just an incredibly flamboyant possession. During her exorcisms, which I didn't have the ability to go to, I'm a pretty busy professional and family man, as you may guess. And so I never went to her exorcisms, although I've been to many others. During those exorcisms, she would struggle for hours. The demon would struggle for hours to try to escape. They have to be held down. Number two, she would speak all kinds of foreign languages, which she had no knowledge of in her normal state. And believe it or not, and I've heard this from about 35 people in my life from all over the world, the 8 or 9 people who attended her exorcism and were trying to hold her down, they all told me that for about a half an hour, she levitated about a foot in, off the air. So this was, as you can imagine, very shocking to the people watching her. And quite dramatic. And again, I've heard that it is reported in Christian history that that can happen. And I've heard about it from about 35 other people, including a professor in Europe of my acquaintance who was an exorcist himself. And so these phenomena are truly real. I'll give you another experience that I witnessed with her, that I did witness myself with her. I was driving with the priest in the car, and Julia was sitting in the back seat. So as the priest and I were talking about where the exorcism was going to take place, and I was not able to go to it, all of a sudden, this voice came out of her, sitting in the back seat of the car. She obviously had gone into a trance, and the voice said, "We told you to leave her alone, you effing priest. She's ours." And in addition, the demon called him "you monkey priest." When she came out of the trance, she had no recollection of having said that. In fact, she said to me, "You know, I thought we were in the city, and all of a sudden we're in the country. What happened?" And we had to explain to her that for about 10 minutes she was in this trance, and the demon was manifesting itself.
Wow.
So, trust me, this was an incredibly dramatic case.
Well, and folks, in case you think, if you believe the Bible, and I know most of y'all listen to the program do, in Acts chapter 19, believe it is, you'll find about the seven sons of Sceva, they got their tails kicked from a guy possessed by a devil. So these things are supernatural. They're super powerful, and that's just the way it is. I did an interview with an ex-witch. It's been many years ago. I just started on radio. I've been on radio 30 years. So this was one local 50,000-watt station here in West Virginia. And her name, I'm trying to remember her name. It was on tip of my tongue, can't think of it. Anyway, she told me she could actually pin a man to the wall off the ground without touching him. And I thought, Elaine Nost. Her name is Elaine Nost. And I thought, okay, I didn't disbelieve her. I just I had a hard time grasping that. But you say in the book here about a 90-year-old man threw a 200-pound Lutheran deacon across the room. So this supernatural strength is real, isn't it?
It's a real thing. And again, it's not just strength. It's sometimes abnormal movements like this levitation. In that case, that was a 90-pound soaking wet woman. There was another case. It wasn't Julia. It was a case, again, all the facts in the book are absolutely 100% true, although I changed the names. In the book, I call her Barbara. And Barbara was getting a kind of deliverance prayers, exorcism from a deacon of Lutheran background, and it was kind of an experience that I think he just had. Nobody was holding her down. So when he started the prayers, the demon manifested itself and pounced on this guy, took this 200-pound guy, threw him clear across a church hall, injuring him, by the way, and that ended that exorcism very quickly.
Wow. And folks, we're going to phone lines up.
I've heard stories like that from a number of other priests. I mean, you have to take precautions when you do these exorcisms.
No doubt.
People can get hurt if you don't have people holding the person down.
And folks,
obviously, originally with their permission.
Yeah, absolutely. I understand that. And folks, I've got a few more questions to ask. If you want to ask any questions, you can call and go and get on the line. Hold on a minute. 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944 if you're asking questions, making comments. So when you're called into one of these cases, what are the first distinguishing characteristics do you look for?
Well, I do a general evaluation. Again, I'm a very experienced physician as well as a psychiatrist. So I'm just trying to get a good overall history. And then I kind of zero in on, do they have a medical or a mental illness? There are people who are schizophrenic. There are people with multiple personality. There are people who are just comfortable people, as well as people who are very suggestible. And we have to rule out all those people as being demonic. They may think they're demonically attacked, but they're not. So we have to rule out, that these individuals have a possession or something. And once we do that, I'm also then attempting to get the story of why this may have happened. Now, I gave an example of the woman who was oppressed, and even though it's hard for a lot of Americans to believe this, we do think in certain cases people can be cursed and attacked by spirits. But she wasn't possessed. Normally, when a person is possessed, in some way, I mean, I'm not being judgmental about it, but in some way they have invited the demon in.
Uh-huh.
They've usually invited the demon in by either engaging in sinful behavior or turning to something like black magic or occultism.
All right, I want to stop you a second. Sinful behavior, okay. Like what? Drugs, booze, sex?
It could be anything. It could be a licentious life. It could be drugs. It could be people who have, harmed other people in serious ways. And often it's associated as well with people who have gotten involved in occultism, black magic, have gone to fortune tellers or spiritualists.
How about tarot cards or Ouija boards?
Well, Ouija boards were originally kind of invented as a way of contacting spirits.
Right.
And so, yes, that's a kind of trying to contact deceased spirits. And these people, the phrase is they open a door to a world that they get in trouble with. In a way, they're attempting to sort of bypass our Lord and find some other way of gaining knowledge or magical power or something. And then the demons think they have a hold on that individual. That's why that sort of activity is dangerous.
Well, now, have you ever run into true believers who ignorantly maybe got involved in something and they become oppressed or even possessed with this?
That have gotten involved in stuff like that, sure.
Yeah, ignorantly get involved maybe and they end up being possessed or oppressed with it.
Yes, absolutely. And that's in fact the characteristic way that people get affected. There was a guy I write about, drug lord. And he was a Mexican-American guy, and he was a criminal. And he turned to one of these Mexican demon cults called Santa Muerte. And he was asking the demons and Satan to make him a successful criminal. And he did become a successful criminal for a while until he got caught by the police. He was put in prison, and the prison chaplain at that point successfully diagnosed him as suffering from a possession. So that's a dramatic example of someone who, you know, has turned to the dark side as well as turned to criminal activity and become possessed. Now, in his case, Pastor, he turned back to, you know, his Christian and Catholic upbringing. He got help from the church, and he was delivered. Whereas, by contrast, Julia, the rare Satanist I talked about, she was scared of leaving the cult, and so she never really gave up her nefarious practices, and she was never delivered. And that really is the difference, because people sometimes want to think that exorcisms are magic prayers, you know, like a witch doctor. You know, you say the mumbo-jumbo prayers and everything's fine. It's more complicated than that. The individual who's affected has to turn to our Lord. They have to turn to God, at least God as they understand it, and as we understand it to be our Lord. They have to turn to reforming their life. If they don't reform their life and develop themselves spiritually, it's highly unlikely that they're going to be successfully delivered.
So Ouija boards, experimenting with, playing with, are very dangerous. I believe that's a given. They are very dangerous. I mean, you're doing things.
Yeah, I'm sure there are kids who just fool around and don't take it seriously. But I advise against that. I think when people take it seriously, they can get into trouble. In fact, the movie The Exorcist was actually based not on a young girl. The original Exorcist movie was based on a young teenage boy from Maryland, and he had turned to a Ouija board. He was trying to contact his aunt, who had been a spiritualism. As you know, summoning spirits and spiritualism is extremely condemned in the Hebrew Bible, in both Deuteronomy and Leviticus. And so he got in over his head. He became possessed. It took him about a year to be delivered by eventually some Jesuit priests.
Well, you know, I'm not Catholic, and I have some difficulty with Catholic religion. But which do you see more Protestants involved in this, or more Catholics involved in this?
I think a lot of the most serious cases eventually do turn to Catholics, because they tend to have sort of a reputation of dealing with some of the most severe cases. But I've seen successful exorcisms by Protestant ministers and clergy as well. So you're going to see possessions in both faiths.
And which group of people, the Catholics or the Protestants, get possessed the most, or oppressed the most? Which one are the most open to possession?
I think it's about the same. And quite frankly, it can happen to anybody. In fact, it sometimes just as often happens to people with no religion, and then they're stuck because they don't know who to turn to. You know what I mean? But it also happens in other religion. I've had cases of Muslims who are seriously attacked. And then you see, especially in many pagan areas of the world, in the underdeveloped world, these possessions are even more common.
Well, of course. And folks, we got about 10 minutes left. If you want to call, you better hurry. 844-769-2944. I know you're listening, and as I am, this is, to me, is very powerful, and things I really want to know about. Because the real world is spiritual. The physical world goes away. It's going to go away. The real world is spiritual. It's much more real than anything we can see, touch, feel, or smell. It's real. The spiritual side is real. And there are battles and wars going on in the spiritual world all the time, all around us. Understand that. But now, these people that you mentioned with Julia, for example, that could see the priest 100 miles away or the exorcist 100 miles away, do devils normally spy on people through other people? How does that work?
Do demons spy on people? Is that what you
said? Yes.
Well, you know, as you yourself probably believe, Pastor, they're fallen angels. And they actually have amazing powers, so that they can observe us all the time. I mean, you know, not to be spooky about it, but they know we're talking right now.
Of course they do. I mean, I say many times the devils go to church more than most people do, but that's the truth. But now that I've been doing this for a long time, I've been pastor well over going on 40-some years now, 45 years, and I now know from experience that demonic activity has been involved inside churches, and I'm talking about Baptist churches, Methodist churches. The demonic forces are actually there, and they're real, because Satan himself, according to the book of Corinthians, has ministers behind the pulpits in these so-called churches. So the churches have been invaded with satanic activity. But if you, I know you don't see devils everywhere, but in your general, just living your life and out working with people and around people, are you able to sometimes spot certain things that are different that may point out something that you can see to make that person stand out, maybe being oppressed or depressed or possessed?
Well, again, we emphasize, especially myself, Pastor, as a physician, I'm gonna require, you know, a certain amount of hard-headed evidence. I don't disagree that you know, demons are always on the lookout to warp and corrupt people everywhere. I do tend to agree with C.S. Lewis, who said it's important to recognize the reality of demons, but it is important not to see it everywhere. So it's not like I have, you know, feel like I'm have special spiritual gifts. It was interesting that Julia said to me once, because she had these so-called paranormal gifts, and she said to me, you know, Dr. Gallagher, I know that these are not gifts of myself. These are powers or abilities that I get from Satan. And she said, you know, nobody is really gifted except if they get in league with Satan and get powers from him, or they're very spiritual people, and in certain cases, you know, God gives people some gifts too. But she said a lot of times you'll hear from fortune tellers and spiritualists, they say, well, I'm naturally gifted. So Julia used to say to me, nobody is naturally gifted. You either get it from above or you get it from below.
Uh-huh. That makes perfect sense. It truly does. And now, we're seeing now more interest in the occult activity. We're seeing schools now having after-church satanic clubs. We're seeing this spiritualism increase in the country, and unfortunately not in the right direction. Are you seeing that also perhaps is gaining ground in this society?
I think whenever a society turns away from authentic, mainstream, orthodox Christianity, you're going to see more of that. And I would agree with you. I mean, again, as you said before, it's not like we should be seeing demons everywhere. But I do think that as a culture moves away from traditional religions, and in the Western world from Christianity, you do see more of this kind of stuff. I think that's true.
And are you seeing an increase maybe in the young people that are our nation? I'm a little bit older. I'm older than you are. I was born in 48. I remember the 50s and a decent society. Morality was pretty much the expected norm, and it was enforced. But I've seen in my lifetime us go from a somewhat godly society to an antichrist society. And the young people are, you can watch them turning into more of a brutish beast than they are people. Are you seeing that as far as the increase in maybe activity in demonic activity or spiritual activity with people like that?
Well, I do think the culture has become more debased. I don't think there was any perfect age, but I think young people now, it's true, I agree with you that they're brought up often with not only a lack of religion, but sometimes with an attraction for these unhealthy things like goth behavior and Satanism and witches and all that. And I do think a certain amount of our young people have become more confused, and a few of them truly corrupted.
We're running out of time so fast here, and the lines are very quiet, and that's because I know people are listening intently to this. So would you say that today's culture, as far as music and movies and all the other things, are heavily influenced by demonic activity, and it's influencing people?
I think to an extent, yes, and I hear that from a lot of different people. I even hear that. I hear that from parents. I hear that from teachers, and they're just... There are people who write about these things, as you know, and there does seem to be a consensus that the cultural level in our country, unfortunately, has declined.
Well, now, what areas do you see the demonic influence increasing the most in? Entertainment, maybe, or what area do you see?
I think entertainment would be a chief area in which, you know, you get some of these rock bands who explicitly, you know, mainly to create a sensation or to make money or something like that, they try to shock their audience and promote things like Satanism. I think a lot of them are, you know, foolish people who just do it to sensationalize the world, but a lot of times they do not recognize that they're getting deeper into a dark world than they imagine. And so the entertainment industry, I think, would be a very good example of a field that has opened itself to some of this stuff in a truly scandalous way.
Well, now, we're running out of time quickly, so folks, I'm sorry. I'm not going to take your phone calls. I've got about a minute and a half left. I'm sorry about that. How can people get your book?
Well, it's readily available. It's actually been translated into several different languages as well, including the Spanish version. But it's widely available. It's published by HarperCollins, which is one of the biggest publishing companies in the world, so you can certainly get it through them. The way, of course, in this country that most people buy books nowadays, an awful lot, it's readily available through Amazon. You just put Dr. Richard Gallagher or Demonic Foes, and comes in several versions.
Can they order through their local bookstores, maybe too?
I would imagine that a lot of bookstores would cover it. Yeah, I know it's perhaps easiest to get just by going onto Amazon.
All right, folks, I'm sorry we got a call took a minute right at last. We just don't have time to get them on. I'm so sorry, but to wait too long on this one. Well, Dr. Richard Gallagher, it's been a pleasure and a very interesting conversation. I'd like to get back with you sometime in the future, if you don't mind.
I'd be happy to, Pastor. Thank you for a thoughtful interview.
All right, my friend. I'll talk to you soon. Folks, thanks for being there. Folks, we'll see you tomorrow night, of course. So y'all have a great night, and keep your eyes open, folks. The demonic activity is real. Watch yourself and your family.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.